Welcome to this Sunday morning's message podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Clive Urquhart.
Right, we're going to just carry on the kind of series that we began last week. Pastor Colin brought a great word that was really about when our lives are lined up with God's word, how his will and his purposes are outworked in us. But when or if or when we do step out of line of God's word or his will in our lives, he is always merciful and gracious to bring us back. And, you know, sometimes it's easy when we feel like we've failed or we've not done well that we shrink back from God. But actually, as we move towards him, he's always ready and quick to respond, to restore us, to forgive us, to get us back into the place that he wants us to be. So that's the kind of God that we serve. We want to carry on really looking at this theme this morning that we're looking at over the next few weeks, choose life. And we're going to look at our own words, the words that we speak, because our words can be life, but they can also be death. How many of you heard this phrase? Sticks and stones will break my bones, but words... Well, I've got a slightly different take on that this morning. Sticks and stones will break my bones, but words can hurt and kill me. That's more the reality of that little statement, isn't it? Words have a lot more impact on us than we realise. Let's have a look at James chapter 3. Maybe these, for many of us, will be well-known verses, but we're going to have a look at a few verses, and we want to look at two aspects of our words that connect us with God, but also our words that connect us with one another. There's a challenge constantly every day of our lives, every moment of our lives, where we have a choice as to what we speak, what we allow to come out of our mouth. And we know that from what the Bible says that what comes out of our mouth is actually what is already going on in our heart. Circumstances might trigger a response or a reaction in our lives, but what it reveals by that response or reaction is what is actually already going on inside of us. And so we want to have a look at James chapter 3 for a moment and read the first few verses of this chapter. So I'm going to read it from the NIV and just pick out a couple of points. But there's a lot of word that we want to look at this morning. But we want to see what is the power of our words. What comes out of our mouth? What does that do? What effect does it have in and around our own lives and in others' lives? Let's have a look. Chapter 3, verse 1. Not many of you should presume to be teachers, my brothers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. We all stumble in many ways. If anyone is never at fault in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to keep his whole body in check. I think we'd all put our hands up this morning and say, none of us are perfect. We all say things that we shouldn't. And but let's kind of read on. When we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole person, sets the whole course of his life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. Wow, James is not holding back here this morning, is he? He's really letting rip and saying just how powerful the tongue is and what it can do. Verse 7, all kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and creatures of the sea are being tamed and have been tamed by man. But no man can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, but with it we curse men who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. Wow, what an amazing description of the tongue. a part of the body that is so small, but yet can cause either a lot of life to be released or a lot of death to be released, depending on what is going on in the heart. Many of us are all, or we're all probably aware of the referendum that happened on Thursday to do with Scotland and whether it became independent or not. And when you think about the last few weeks in particular, although this issue has been going on for many, many months now, the last couple of weeks in particular, it came on everybody's radar. Everybody's been speaking about it. But when you think about it, the whole thing has been, however you want to describe it, a war of words, a communication of words. It's been a lot about words. Who's right, who's wrong, some people are saying. There's all kinds of different opinions. There's all kinds of different arguments of pros and cons for independence or not being independent, the impact or whatever it might have on the whole nation or parts of the nation. But the whole thing has been about words. And there's been debates on the TV, hasn't there, with the two sides, as it were, trying to argue, trying to put their side, trying to outdo, outwit, out-argue one another. But it's all to do with words. And what it does when people are listening is it causes or it triggers reactions, responses that are already on the inside of people's lives. And so it kind of highlights what is already there. So for some people in Scotland, maybe, it's raised or brought out that kind of strong feeling on the inside. We want to be independent. We want to be our own nation. We want to determine our own destiny. Maybe there's others that has brought out a different kind of response. No, we don't want that. We still want to be part of something bigger than just ourselves. Maybe down in England, it's brought a same responses. Some might say, yeah, let Scotland do its own thing and disappear off into the blue yonder. Maybe others say, no, we want to be part of the same thing. But what it does, it stirs up what is already going on the inside. Some strong feelings, strong passions, very nationalistic or independent, all that kind of stuff. Words are powerful. They define things. They describe things. They stir people up. Or they rebuke people, they encourage people, they challenge people, they're merciful towards people, or they can be angry towards people. The debate over the last couple of weeks in particular has brought out all kinds of different types of responses. So words over the last few weeks potentially determine the future, the destiny of nations, of millions of people. And so we want to understand that the power of our words don't just affect our own lives, but they affect the lives of those around us. They affect the people around us where we communicate words, where we're speaking words. We're coming out with our thoughts, our ideas, our opinions, our philosophies, whatever it might be. We need to understand that the tongue is powerful. And as James described it, it's like a fire that is on the inside of you. And you know when you press buttons in our lives, certain buttons can be pressed and it can bring out some things. I don't know, you can meet people that seem to be quite placid, quite kind of relaxed, quiet maybe. But you press or trigger some buttons in their lives and suddenly they wake up and they're coming out with something that's really kind of precious to them or it means something to them. So words are powerful. They either release life and death. Let's have a look at Proverbs chapter 18. I'm going to whiz through, so you'd have to be quite quick to find these. Proverbs 18, verses 20 to 21. From the fruit of his mouth, a man's stomach is filled. With the harvest from his lips, he is satisfied. The tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. What does that lot really mean? The quality of your life is dependent on the quality of your words. The fruit of your life and the momentum of your life in many ways is affected by the words that we speak, because the words we speak flow from what is going on in the heart. The quality of our life is dependent on the quality of the words that we speak and the kind of words that we speak. It's interesting, isn't it? Because it's not also the words, it's the way we speak those words. Because you can say a sentence in one way and it comes across that There's no negative attitude on the inside of somebody. They're just having a conversation. Or you can say the same conversation with a bit of an attitude and a bit of negativity, and it means something completely different because of the heart from which it's come or the tone from which it is communicated. In Genesis chapter 1, we see in verse 3, God said, "Let there be." And through that whole chapter, we see that God begins to speak and create things by speaking. Now, God is the creator, and things were formed as he spoke. Things came into being. So words produce, words create. Now, they're either going to create life or they're going to produce death. They're either going to build or they're going to destroy. They're either going to encourage or they're going to bring down. But the Bible also says in Genesis 1 there that we are made in God's image. Now, if we are made in God's image, then also the words we speak then have the possibility to create life also. So if God is the creator and he says, let's make man in our image, and in our image he has made us, then in the same way, he has given us the ability to speak and to speak life, which is his heart and his intention. So we have the possibility to speak life, but we know that there is one who does not want us to speak life. He wants us to speak death. The devil wants to pervert the truth in our lives so that we don't benefit from it, but secondly, so that we don't agree with it, and thirdly, that we don't then speak it. So we have God the Creator who has given us life, who wants us to be a people of life that speak life, but then we have the enemy, the devil, who wants to pervert the truth or put a twist on the truth or get us to have our eyes off the truth and the power that it has in our lives and other people's lives so that we don't benefit from it, we don't agree with it, we don't believe with it, and then we don't speak it, so that instead we speak something else, maybe something negative, something destructive, something of slander or even a lie or something that causes division. Because the enemy is out to steal, kill, and destroy. Yet Jesus said, I've come to give you life and life in all its fullness. So God knows his life, his word releases life and life in abundance. But the enemy knows if he can get us off the word of God and speak in the truth over our lives and others' lives, and he can pervert the truth in our life or get us to disbelieve it, trip us up, get us to doubt, or let circumstances override us, then we're going to begin to speak something else. When we begin to speak something else, that's when circumstances begin to overtake. That's when a negative attitude begins to develop. That's when you then begin to get an environment around your life that is not positive but negative. I think for most of us in the room, though, we want what we say to agree with God. We want what comes out of our mouth to be what God would want to come out of our life. We want our words to agree with him and his words, so that what comes out of our mouths is life. Now, we know with words, as we've said already, there's a constant choice throughout the day at any given moment as to what we speak. Do we respond or do we react? Now, we're going to look at two parts of this morning. One is our words connecting us with God, but also our words and how they connect us with one another and the power and the effect that that has. Let's firstly look at the words that we speak and how they connect us with God. In John chapter 1, verse 1, it says, In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So we're just establishing here that the Word is God, the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Then it says in verse 14 of John 1, but the Word became flesh, making his dwelling among us. So what does God do? God speaks the spiritual into the natural. You see, God is spirit. God is not physical like we are. God is spirit. And therefore, everything he says is spiritual. But whatever he says begins to reveal what his word is in the natural. So when he created, he said, let there be light. And what was spoken as something from his spirit, from God, was spiritual, then became something you could see in the natural, light. So when God speaks, it's always to create, always to form, always to reveal who he is but then to see it take place in life, in our lives, in others' lives, and in life around us. So he speaks the spiritual into the natural. And we see here that the Word became flesh, making his dwelling among us. Why did he do that? Because there was a gap between the spiritual, who God is, and the natural, who man was. And that gap, that chasm, was called sin. And so God had to come, and Jesus became the bridge between the spiritual and between the natural. And Jesus was the bridge between God and man, and he filled that chasm that separated us from God. But then God sent his word, Jesus, as the Son, to bridge the gap. But then we use our words, we speak then words to walk over that bridge from being separated from God to then into relationship with him. It's words that we then speak that then connect us from ourselves, independent from God, to bring us into relationship with God. What does that look like? Romans 10, verse 8 to 10. The Bible says there, what does it say? The word is near you, it is in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith that we are proclaiming. That if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Wow, so God has done something to make salvation possible, but it's by our words that we speak that determine whether we are saved or not. Whether we cross over from what's called death to life, being separated from God, or to come into relationship with him. So the words we speak will either keep us separated from God or will connect us with God. And the Bible says here that if we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, then we will be saved. Now, many of us in the room have already done that and continue to do that. That Jesus is Lord. We continue to confess that. Why? Because we believe that in our heart. Then verse 10 says, for it's with your heart that you believe and are justified, but it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. Verse 13, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So in order for somebody to be saved, to be forgiven from their sin, to be saved, to come to know God, it's the words that are spoken that determine whether they walk across that bridge from death to life. Now, many of us know that in the room. But what it shows is the power of our words. God has made it possible for every person to be saved, to come to know him. But it's the words that we speak in response to that that determine whether we cross from death to life. But it's also the words that we speak then, once we know God, that enable us to continue to live in that life. Let's have a look at Matthew chapter 12 for a minute. There's quite a lot of stuff in these few verses. We're not going to go into all of it, but just Matthew chapter 12 for a minute. Verse 30 onwards. Jesus is speaking here. He who is not with me is against me. He who does not gather with me scatters. And so I tell you, every sin and blasphemy will be forgiven. But the blasphemy against the Spirit will not be forgiven. Anyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man will be forgiven. But anyone who speaks against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven, either in this age or in the age to come. Make a tree good and its fruit will be good. Make a tree bad and its fruit will be bad. For a tree is recognized by its fruit. You brood of vipers, how can you, he's pretty full on here speaking to some of the religious people. You brood of vipers, how can you who are evil say anything good? For out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. The good man brings good things out of the good stored up in him, and the evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in him. But I tell you that men will have to give an account on the day of judgment for every careless word they have spoken. For by your words you'll be acquitted, and by your words, you will be condemned. Wow. Pretty full on again. The Bible's fairly strong, isn't it, when it comes to certain things. Interesting, just a quick thing here. when it talks about anyone who speaks against the Son of Man will be given, but anyone who speaks against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven, either in this age or the age to come. Many people say that's the unforgivable sin. What exactly is that? The Bible says here that if you speak against the Son of Man, against Jesus, you'll be forgiven. There's many people that do a lot of things and say a lot of things that are against Jesus, against God and everything. But yet, when somebody is convicted of their sin, they're convicted that God is alive, that Jesus is real, He is the Savior, and they come to Him and repent of their sin, the Bible says that they are forgiven. If you confess your sin, He is faithful and just and will forgive you your sin and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. See, God is faithful and He'll forgive every person that comes to Him and asks for forgiveness. But what does that mean when it says when if you speak against the Holy Spirit that you won't be forgiven? Well, the Holy Spirit is the one that reveals who Jesus is. The Holy Spirit is the one that reveals into our lives that we need to be saved. That what He's done on the cross is for our benefit, our good. It's to bring us out of death and into life. And people have a choice through their lives when they hear the gospel, whether they're going to respond to it or not. When somebody doesn't respond to the gospel, they stay in a place of unforgiveness before God because they haven't responded yet to the gospel. If somebody dies and never responds to the gospel, they're still in a place of unforgiveness because they never responded to the gospel. Yet that means they're never forgiven in this life because they never repented, and they will never be forgiven in the next one because when they stand before God one day saying, well, I heard the gospel, I heard it, but I never responded. I didn't want to know. I wanted to do my own thing. By that point, it's too late. That's what it means when it talks about when you speak against the Holy Spirit that you will not be forgiven, either in this age or the one to come. There's nothing you can do on earth that God will not forgive you for if you come to Him and ask you to forgive you and you repent. There's people that worship the devil. There's people that do all kinds of stuff in those kind of environments. And you've probably heard as well as I have, there are many of those people that have responded to Jesus, been forgiven, and now they know Jesus, and the past is the past. It's gone, it's history, and they now have a new life in Christ. And in those environments, they denounce Jesus. They denounce the Holy Spirit. They denounce God as being God and everything, but yet God is bigger than that. And if anybody comes to Him and repents, boom, they'll be forgiven. But if you never repent, never turn to God in your life, in this life, then you live in a place of being of unforgiveness before God. You can never be right with God unless you come to a place saying, God, I recognize You're God, You're Lord, and I need You. That's what that verse means in that context that Jesus is speaking about. And then He goes on to say, make a tree good and its fruit will be good. Make a tree bad and its fruit will be bad. Then He goes on to speak about, for it's by our words that we'll be acquitted or our words that we will be condemned. Wow. Now the great thing is, when you know Jesus, that whatever you ask Him to forgive you for, He forgives you. That if we are negative, if we do have a bad day, a bad moment, if we do are negative or we whatever towards anybody else or about ourselves, when we come to God and say, Father, I ask You to forgive me, the Holy Spirit works and you say, hey, that's enough. No more negativity, no more accusations, no more lies. And you go, Father, I ask You to forgive me. Would You cleanse my heart? Boom, God's always there to forgive, always there to cleanse, always there to purify. But it's a strong thing that God's saying here and speaking to us in our lives through the word here, that our words will either acquit us or they will condemn us. Great thing is, when you know Jesus, you've been brought from death over to life, and therefore God's life is in us, and the words we then speak can be words of life. Whereas if we stay in this place over here and we never respond to God, never give our lives to God, when you stand before God one day and He says, what did you do with your life? And you say, well, I did this, I did that, the other. And He said, you never came to me. You never responded to me. You never responded to what I did for you. You never came into a relationship with me. There was never anything that was spoken if you've stayed this side of the cross. There's never a moment where out of your mouth there was confession of Jesus is Lord, because I believe that in my heart. I need to be forgiven of my sin because I recognize my need of God. By our words we'll be acquitted, or by our words we'll be condemned. That's the power of words in our lives. And if our words are that powerful that it can, as we respond to God, it can move us from death to life, it can take us out of an eternity that is separated from God and into an eternity that brings us into relationship with God. If words in a few minutes of talking to God to be forgiven and to come to know Him, begin a relationship with Him, if words can be that powerful to bring you from death to life, how powerful are they when we know God and when we speak as to what those words also then do in our own lives and other people's lives around us? See, words are powerful. Words are keep us either in death or in life. We either speak death, which none of us want to do, or we speak life because of what it releases in and around us. Are you with me? You all right this morning? Okay. Let's have a look at those words connect us with God. Now we know. We're not going to go into this now, but we know that when we praise God, that connects us with God, because we're exalting God, we're glorifying God, we're magnifying who He is. We're telling Him, you're amazing, you're wonderful. We're singing songs like this morning, and we're focusing on who He is. That enables us to live in the life of who He is. When we're talking to God and praying, it's a relationship of life. God speaks to us through His Word. We speak the Word over our lives. It's life that we're speaking over our own lives, life that we're speaking when we pray. We can look at that another week, you know, praying the word, speaking the word in that sense. So we know that words connect us with God in that way, but also words connect us with one another. Let's have a look at Proverbs 18, verses 20 to 23 for a minute. Words connect us with one another. From the fruit of his mouth, a man's stomach is filled. With the harvest from his lips, he is satisfied. The tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. He who finds a wife finds what is good and receives favor from the Lord. All the wise went, yee-hee. A poor man pleads for mercy, but a rich man answers harshly. A man of many companions may come to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. God's word's amazing, isn't it? How many of you know that God's word is always right? There's five verses there, and none of them are there by accident. They're all there by design. They're all there on purpose. God has put these verses together to help us understand some things here. Because you might look at some of those verses and think, why in the middle of those five verses does it suddenly come out with, he who finds a wife finds what is good and receives favor from the Lord? What on earth has that got to do with the fruit of a man's stomach is filled, the harvest of his lips is satisfied, tongue is the power of life and death, and then a poor man pleads for mercy? Maybe some say because he's just found a wife, he needs to plead for mercy. But a rich man answers harshly. I'll just lob that in to make sure you're awake. Why then does it talk about and man of many companions may come to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother? Because God knows that words build relationship, or words destroy relationship. God doesn't compartmentalize our lives and say, let's just talk about words over here today, and then next week let's talk about relationships or whatever. Everything affects everything else. But he says here, from the fruit of his mouth, a man's stomach is filled. With the harvest from his lips, he is satisfied. Now that's what he's talking about when a man speaks the word, speaks the truth. If you look at the various verses before, you know, when he's speaking some things, then a man's stomach is filled. With the harvest from his lips, he is satisfied. The tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. He who finds a wife finds what is good and receives favor from the Lord. Maybe just those that are married for a minute. What kind of marriage have you got? How's it going? What kind of marriage have you spoken? What kind of marriage do you speak about? What words come out of your mouth about your marriage? We can come on two verses later to verse 24. In our friendships and relationships with others that we all have, what words do we speak? What comes out of our mouth? What kind of relationships do we have? What do we create by the words that we speak? You know, sometimes in marriage, especially when there can be some challenges, there can be some little phrases that begin to be quite regular in the language of a marriage sometimes. When things aren't, there's some tension or things aren't going so good, or you can tell there's a few things going on here. You know, when people begin to say, you always. You know, when that starts going on, when the conversation, yeah, but you're always doing that, you're always doing this. Now, you know, you might say, yeah, but some of it's done in jest, where you say, oh, my wife's always like that. Oh, she's always like that. But actually, just go a little bit deeper, admit that bugs you. Maybe it doesn't, I don't know. But, you know, there's always stuff going on. What begins to, when circumstances and challenges begin to kind of get a bit close in our lives, it's interesting what begins to surface. In a marriage, in a friendship, when there can be tension, you know, what do we speak? What words flow out of our mouths that define our relationship? What have we been agreeing with? I don't know about you guys. In my situation, for me, obviously I pray every day, spend time with the Lord, and I speak things over my life. But I also pray for my wife every day, and I speak things over my marriage, and I pray for my kids every day, and I speak things over their lives, you know. And so, why? Because I'm not going to speak what is contrary to what God wants. So I'm going to speak life over their lives. I'm going to speak health over their lives. I'm going to speak a good future into their lives. That my children walk in the ways of God. They walk in the things of God. And with that, I always thank you, Jesus, that you've got a hold of their lives. And I speak your goodness over their life. Thank you that they are pillars in the house of God. I thank you they are strong towers in the house of God. Thank you that they are life because your life is in them. And I speak that life over them today. Why? Because I want my kids to live in the life of who God is. Because I know there's enough stuff out there that wants to take them out, wants to steal, kill and destroy, wants to capture their hearts, wants to do other things in and around them to cause them to suffer. And it's like, no, I'm going to be like a shield of faith around their lives. I want to stand on their behalf. Now, they need to learn, and they've learned how to stand and all of that kind of stuff, because you teach them that stuff. But I want my kids to walk in the things of God. So, you know, Jane and I, when we first got married, you know, we somebody said to us, we didn't have marriage prep back then. We didn't anyway. But I can remember somebody saying to us, I can't remember what context, but I remember somebody saying to me, just make one decision when you get married. Never, ever say anything negative about your wife. To anybody, especially to anybody else. And I suppose for me, sometimes you can have conversations and you don't necessarily agree, and you have to work through stuff, talk about stuff, you have to agree about things. But if you're going through that, you know, a conversation or a moment, you know, that doesn't mean that when you see somebody else, oh, my wife's a right old nag at the moment. She's like flipping heck. You know that dripping tap verse in the Bible? That's her to a T. You know, flipping heck, you know. Because what you do is you're sowing something and watering something in your own heart, but you're also sowing something and watering something in somebody else's heart. You're putting a morsel of gossip or negativity into somebody else's heart saying, yeah, you know, his wife's a right old nag, isn't she? Now, they might never have even thought of her like that, but because you're saying it, it's sown something in there. And now next time they see your wife, in the back of their mind, they're going to have, I get on really well with her, but yet she must be a right old nag then behind at home. Do you know what I mean? And it's that sort of stuff that can sow. What do words do? Words sow. So words can either sow something that's going to produce life, or something that's sown that can produce some kind of death, negativity, slander, undermining, bad report, that kind of stuff. So the words that we speak at the heart of our relationships either produce life or they produce death. Now I just want to look at a couple of things for a minute. Where have I written them down? Somewhere or other here. Now, I just want to look at a few negative words for a moment and then look at some positive ones. Words can be negative. Words can be gossip. Words can slander. And there can be words that lie. Let's just quickly look at some of these for a moment. What does negativity do? Negativity wears you down. That's what negativity does. It wears you down. If you start being negative about yourself, it just wears you down. If you start being negative about stuff, people around you, after a while, they're like, this is pretty wearing. This person's just negative all the time. It wears you down and people don't want to be around that. What does gossip do? Gossip pulls people down. A perverse man stirs up dissension, and a gossip separates close friends. The words of gossip are like choice morsels. They go down to a man's innermost part. So what does gossip do? Gossip pulls people down. What's gossip? Did you hear about this? Do you know what they said? Do you know what they did? Oh, do you know this, that, and the other? It pulls down. It breaks relationship. What does slander do? Slander tears things down, tears people down. When you start slandering other people, it tears relationship. It ruins relationship. And then lying. What does lying do? Lying breaks down relationship. Why? Because lies are opposite to the truth. Either the truth of God's word or the truth of what really happened in a situation. So just to go over those again. What does negativity wears people down, wears you down. Gossip pulls people down and pulls relationships down. Slander tears things apart and tears relationships down. And lying breaks down relationship and causes division and angst in situations. Proverbs 10:19, when words are many, sin is not absent. What's that? It's death. But he who holds his tongue is wise. What does that produce? Is life. We live in a time where there are many, many, many words being spoken and written. Many words being tweeted. Many words being Facebooked. Many words in whatever other forms of social media there are. Written blogs and video blogs. And there's so much opportunity now for everybody to have a say. To put their penny's worth in about everything and anything. When words are many, sin is not absent. But he who holds his tongue is wise. Wow. Once words have been released, they can't be taken back, can they? Let's have a look at a few other scriptures. Proverbs 12, verse 17. A truthful witness gives honest testimony. That's life. But a false witness tells lies. That's death. Verse 18. Reckless words pierce like a sword. That's death. But the tongue of the wise brings healing. Verse 19. Truthful lips endure forever. Why? Because when you speak life, it produces life. But then it says, but a lying tongue lasts only a moment. Why? Because it causes death. The power of life and death is in the tongue. Proverbs 15, verse 4. The tongue that brings healing is a tree of life, but a deceitful tongue crushes the spirit. What's that? Death. Jesus is the key to life and death. Once you know Jesus, once you've given your life to him, then you have the key in you for life and death. And we have daily choices in our lives to whether we're going to speak life or whether we're going to speak death, something opposite. God has called us to be a people of life, those that speak life, those that build, encourage, and strengthen. Let's just have a look at a few words that are the opposite to some of the negative we just looked at. How are our words powerful? When we encourage, what do? We build up, we strengthen. When we compliment, what are we doing? We're adding worth into somebody's life. When we praise, what are we doing? We're lifting people when we praise them. There's a difference between flattering somebody that just makes them feel good and all of that, There's a difference between whether you encourage somebody, hey, mate, I've just seen what's been happening in your life. It's so encouraging, so good. I just love the way that you're doing this, or the way you bless that person, or what I've seen. It's so brilliant, mate. I just want to really encourage you. Or if somebody does something well, you're saying, I just really want to thank you for that. You want to compliment them. Thank you for what you've been doing, the way you've been serving or acting, just what you've done. What does that do? It adds worth. When you praise somebody, it lifts them. You know, when we do, what do you call it? Hero of the month. You know, we go, hey, this person or these people, they've been serving, they've been doing this, that, and the other. We're praising them. We're not feeding their flesh. We're just praising, saying, look, guys, we love you, we appreciate you. What does it do? It lifts people. When we speak well of people, what we're doing, we're bringing a good report. We're speaking well because we've decided we're going to bring a good report. All these things are a choice, aren't they? Sometimes we feel, hang on a minute, I've got the right to have a go now. I've got the right to be negative. Everything is in my favor to say I'm right, so I've got the justification. But yet, we've just read some verses in the Bible that says that when there's many words, it's going to end up causing trouble. When we sometimes speak out, what we feel is right, and we've got a right to say this, a right to say that, what does it actually cause is more angst and more division. It's at those moments where we want to be wise and we say, right, I've got all the right in the world to say something, but actually, before God, I don't have any right because it's not my place to judge and say, well, because I'm right and they're wrong, I've got a place to say something. No, we want to be wise. Hold the tongue. Instead of act and speak in judgment, which releases death, we actually go and have a conversation and bring reconciliation, which produces life in a relationship. We want to be people of life, and God has called us as people of life. Life and death is in the power of the tongue. It's a small little red thing that flops about in our mouth. And James says it's really hard to tame the thing. But how do you tame the tongue? It's all to do with the heart. And as we surrender our hearts, keep our hearts submitted to the Lord, doesn't mean we always get it right, because James says none of us do that. If there's anybody perfect here, then, you know, you need to be up teaching everybody. That's basically what he's saying there. But there isn't anybody that is that perfect. So we all get it wrong. That's where God's mercy comes in. We ask to forgive us, and he forgives us. But yet, we don't want to live like that. We want to live speaking life. We don't want to take opportunities where we can be one up on somebody else. No, actually, we want to take an opportunity where we can, like Jesus did, humble ourselves. He had the right to say some things when he was being accused, when he was standing before accused of being this, that, and the other. He had the right probably to say some stuff, but he didn't. But what was his response? Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. And as people that bring life, that's our heart response. That's how we want to be. That we don't act according to what we think we have a right for. But actually, no, let's let that die. And say, no, we want to be reconcilers. We want to be healers. We want to be those who bring healing. Those that are wise, who bring wisdom. Who don't react and retaliate, but actually respond with mercy, grace, and love. We want those kind of words to flow from our lives, from our mouths, because that's what's in our hearts. Let's stand together, shall we? Proverbs 18, we read it earlier. From the fruit of his mouth, a man's stomach is filled. With the harvest from his lips, he is satisfied. You know, when you say things and you lose your peace, you're not satisfied. You're not living in peace. Because you know you've said stuff that is just, shouldn't have said that. That wasn't the best thing to say. It's too late at that moment. But then you have to go and ask the Lord to forgive you, or you have to reconcile with somebody else. The tongue has power, the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Some people love their own words. They love just their own stuff. At the end of the day, you eat of the fruit of that in your own life, which doesn't have a positive result. But also the opposite to that, though, the tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. If you speak what is good, what is of God, what's going to build up, encourage, strengthen, lift, then you eat of the fruit of that in your life. Why? Because when you release life, you receive life. When you give life, you receive life. There's enough negativity in life. And we all live and work in environments where you only have to hang out with people and you realize, wow, there's a lot of stuff going on in there. And we don't want to add to that. We want to come with a different flavor. We want to come with something different. And that's how we're seeking to live in our lives, to bring Christ, to bring the kingdom of God into people's lives. And as we respond this morning, there might be people here this morning, and when I read out Matthew 12 there and said that people never respond to God, then they stay in a place of unforgiveness before God. And that when you stand before God one day, and every one of us is going to stand before God one day and have to give an account of our lives. I personally, I know I don't want anybody in this room that has heard about Jesus that said, no, not interested, that has to stand before God one day and God said, what did you do with what I gave you, the life that I gave you? And you say, well, I heard about you, but I thought I could do it my way. It's too late by then. See, God is building a family and he wants you to be part of it. And he builds a family with words. He's given us a book called the Bible. And in that book, it shows us who God is. It shows us who we are in relation to him. It shows us what happens if we don't have relationship with him. It shows us what it means to know God and how we can live. It's full of words that describe life in God. It shows that when we come to God and say, Father, or we say, God, I know I've done wrong, I know I've stuffed up, I ask you to forgive me, I want to be part of your family. Then the amazing thing is, God, because he's a God of mercy, he forgives us. He lets us off. He doesn't hold sin against us and say, well, you've done too much, you've gone past my forgiveness. He's bigger than any sin or the amount of sin you might have done in your life. He's bigger than all of that and can forgive in a moment. Because that's the kind of God he is. And when any of us come, maybe for the first time, and say, God, I need you. I recognize you're the creator. I want to know you. I want to respond to you. Or whether we're just coming to God this morning saying, I recognize I've not exactly had much control over my tongue. I've let rip at people. I've been negative. I've had a go. I've slandered. I've gossiped. I've judged. I've lied. I've bent the truth. I mean, what is bending the truth? It's lying. Isn't it? At the end of the day. Well, you kind of told the truth, but not all of it. I don't know what you call that. Half-truth, which is not the truth. I don't know. We've just been a bit straight this morning. Is that all right? I don't know if I got out of bed the wrong side, but just... But let's be quick to respond to the Lord this morning. Just if you know this morning, you're like, God, I know I haven't had a tight rein on my tongue. I've let rip at people. I've vented off my attitudes, philosophies, my opinions, what I think, what I feel. Whether I've said it or whether I've written it down and shoved it on Facebook or on some other social media forum. I've written a blog even and had a go and been negative in it and shoved it on my website page or whatever forum you might do things. Man, we want to be people of life, not death. We want to build, not destroy. We want to lift, not pull down. If you've got anything on a social media environment where you know it's not negative, it's not positive, it's division, I want to encourage you, after the meeting, go and take it down. Get rid of it. If you whatever you can do, get rid of it. Because we want to be people of life. We don't want to be speaking death to anybody else. We don't want to be criticizing, judging, whatever it is. If you're upset about something, the first place you need to go to is God. Go and sort it out with God. and then go and sort it out with whoever it is. But don't whack it up on a social media thing and slander others and negative, whether they know God or not, whether they're a politician or not. It doesn't matter who they are. We want to be people of life. So let's just bring any of that to the Lord this morning. Father, I ask you to forgive me. I've already prayed through a lot of this stuff before I could get up here this morning and talk about any of this stuff. But if you're here this morning, you don't know Jesus. You've never responded to him. Maybe the first thing you need to say to him this morning is you come to him. As I was wrong and I need you to forgive me. I've been wrong and I need you to forgive me. The next step is to recognize that he is Lord. Maybe as we read earlier on from the Bible, you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. It says, then you will be saved. Maybe the first step this morning is, I was wrong, I need you to forgive me. Maybe you need to just say, Father, would you forgive me for all the stuff I've done wrong? Jesus, I want to put my faith in you. I believe that you are Lord and that God did raise you from the dead. And I want to be saved. If that's your heart response this morning, what's in your heart? Just while we've all got our eyes closed, I just want you to raise your hand this morning. Just let me see where you are because I want to just pray for you. Anybody here this morning and you're like, I need to be forgiven. I want to start a relationship with God. If there's anybody, just slip your hand up now. Let me just pray for you. Father, I thank you for every one of us here this morning. Father, you know where we're at. If we don't know you this morning, I thank you continue to reveal who you are into our lives. But Father, I just pray for us as a body. I thank you called us to be a people of life, people that speak life over our own lives, into our marriages, into our relationships, into our families, whatever context that we are in. I thank you that you've called us to be people of life, people that connect with you but also connect with one another, and that fresh understanding of the power of your words and our words in our lives and what difference and impact that makes. Father, I thank you. I praise your name. I thank you that today we're people of life. I thank you that this week we're people of life. Father, I thank you if we need to resolve anything with anybody else, I thank you that you enable us, give us the grace to do that. Any relationship where there's been a breakdown is always involved words. But whenever a relationship's been reconciled, it always involves words. To build a friendship, it involves words. To build a marriage, it involves words. And words either build, encourage, and release life, or they can be negative and destroy, cause division. So, Father, I thank you. As a people of life, we can release life. So this morning, just speak over your own life this morning. I speak life over my life today. If you're married, I speak life into my marriage today. Just thank God. If you're a guy, thank God for your wife. If you're a lady, thank God for your husband. Father, thank you for my husband. I thank you for my wife. I thank you they're a gift from you. I thank you they're a blessing. I thank you that you've blessed me with them. And I just speak your goodness over their life. I speak life. I speak health. I thank you for a strong friendship, strong marriage. If you've got kids, just thank him for a great family. I speak life to my kids. I thank you for my kids. They're a blessing. Maybe some, you got your kids have got, maybe they're challenging in some of their behavior or some of their, rather than saying, oh, my kid's this, my child's that, my son's this, my daughter's that, change your confession, change what you're saying. Because while you're speaking the negative, it's never, ever going to change. So you need to change your confession this morning. Make a decision. Right, instead of just compounding what I see, I'm going to begin to speak what my children are going to become. So I speak life over my child and my children. I thank you, Father, for a child that behaves. I thank you for a child with good manners, with a great attitude. Now, you're going to have to follow it up with some stuff, but just start with speaking life over their lives. if you're not married, just with your friendships, relationships. You might live in a household with other people or whatever it might be. Just speak over your friendships. Father, I thank you for my friends. I thank you that they're fantastic people. I speak life over those friendships. I thank you bless me with those friends. I thank you that I can walk with them together. I thank you I can confide in them. Thank you I can encourage them. They can encourage me. I thank you they're a blessing to me and I want to be a blessing to them. So I speak life over those friendships and those relationships. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Words are either life or death. Let's make a decision. We're going to speak life into our relationships. We're going to speak life over our lives. We're going to speak life into the circumstances that we're in. Maybe some of you in the workplace, you need to change your confession. Maybe there's some challenges, some stuff going on there. And there's some challenges and you've been a little bit negative, a little bit, oh, I just don't want to be there. Or this person's this, that, and the other. Oh, I hate going into work. It's like, change your confession. Father, forgive me for even saying that. I hate going to work at the moment. Oh, I just don't want to go. It's such a pain. I'm just, blah. And it's all come out like that. Say, Father, forgive me for my confession that's been negative. And I choose now to change my confession. I thank you that you work in my heart right now so I have a different approach, different attitude to work. I thank you that when I go in tomorrow, it's going to be a good day. I'm going to be a blessing tomorrow. I thank you instead of that hassle with my boss or with that work colleague, whoever it is, I just speak life over that relationship. I speak life into that context right now. I thank you, Jesus, for your outcome in that situation. I think it's going to go well. It's going to change. It's going to become good. I thank you, Jesus. Whatever the certain, maybe one of your children, maybe something's going on at school, it's not easy, something's going on there. Maybe one of your children's being bullied at the moment, and maybe rather confessing, oh, it's just not going good, and my son's this, that, the other, he's having a hard time. Right, I'm going to change my confession. Father, I thank you for victory in this situation. Thank you that the bullying stops. I thank you that something changes in that friendship, in that relationship. Whatever it might be, change your confession. Begin to speak life over it and not death. Begin to agree with what God wants to do, not with what the circumstances might say or what the enemy wants. Father, I thank you. I praise your name. Thank you that we're a people of life and not death. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.